We are in within shouting distance of us completing our seventh year here on WMIE, Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning over on WWBC 1510 AM. And wow, who I guarantee you that I had no idea 7 years ago when they approached me about doing this radio program that it would still be going on after all this time. And we're still pressing on. We're still learning stuff and sharing the Word of God with you, and we pray that it is a wonderful blessing to you. We are thankful for all of those who give us input. If you have never contacted us to let us know that you're listening, our email address is meritassembly@hotmail.com, meritassembly@hotmail.com. And, you know, if you just want to drop us a line, say, hey, you know, we're glad that you are on the air. We don't ask for financial contributions very often or anything like that. We just continue to live by faith. We trust God. I don't know of a church with a bigger heart for ministry than what ours has, and we do not have a huge budget. It's much larger than it used to be, but God has certainly blessed. We were talking yesterday about the latter part of Malachi chapter 3, about obedience to tithe, to give to God what belongs to Him, and how that God will bless so that we don't have room enough to contain it, that He will rebuke the devourer, and that other nations will call you blessed. Well, you know, ours has not been a rapid ascent. It's been more of a slow, steady climb, and we are very thankful. You know, we haven't been a flash in the pan or anything like that. My wife and I have been pastoring the church. Goodness, this December will be 28 years that we have been there, and we are very thankful for God commanding blessing, and we are very thankful for the Lord rebuking the devourer, and we are thankful for His blessings, and we pray that when you visit, when you hear on the radio, that you will hear that the favor of God exists, and we're not over there saying, woe is me, and all of this sort of stuff. We recognize that if God places you someplace, He wants you to make the most out of that opportunity. And so we never knew that we were going to be here for as long as we have been. And so our mindset was, God, however long we're here, we just want to make sure that we leave the place in better shape than we found it. And, you know, that's been my mindset with secular jobs. Wherever I go, I want to make sure that people don't have a whole lot to complain about should the Lord ever move us on. And so we have been very, very blessed and very thankful for that. Today we want to take you to Matthew 23, and we're going to be looking at verse number 23. And we're going to be dealing with one of those issues that people have from time to time, and when they want to say, well, I don't tithe because it's an Old Testament principle. It's a part of the law. And, well, Matthew chapter 23 is part of the New Testament. And the words I'm going to be sharing with you today are the words of Jesus. They're not the words of Bob. They're the words of Jesus. And then we'll close out the program today, letting you know about another blessing that belongs to Him. So Matthew 23, verse number 23 says this: woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Okay? And so here, Jesus is talking about their hypocrisy. Tithing is not the end of the matter. Tithing is the beginning of the matter. It is not the end-all proposition. It is just one of the elements in which we honor the Lord with obedience to his command. And so he looks at the Pharisees and he looks at the scribes and he labels them hypocrites. Now, a lot of people say, well, the reason I don't come to church is because it's filled with hypocrites. Well, let me tell you, politics is filled with hypocrites. You can probably find hypocrites in just about every industry that you look at. You know, people say, well, look, if I don't feel like doing it, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, you know, if that had been the philosophy of my mother and my father, I wouldn't have any of the teeth in my head, because very rarely did I get up of a morning saying, wow, I just feel like brushing my teeth this morning. I felt like eating ice cream all of the time. Well, actually, when I was growing up, I felt like eating just about everything all of the time. I had quite a healthy appetite and a metabolism that could handle it. But if we only do the things that we feel like, then we do not understand the role of discipline. My parents were very effective at implementing discipline from outside until I learned to discipline from the inside, if you get my drift. And so... There is nothing wrong with that discipline. But the Pharisees and the scribes had elevated tithing to a point that said, look, this is the end of the matter. We are honoring the Lord with what is his. Okay? But what they weren't doing were they were not living the life that was supposed to accompany that blessing. Remember when we were in Malachi chapter 3 yesterday, the end result of it was, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. Well, I can tell you from reading the Bible a lot, when you start talking about the scribes and you start talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, nobody really in Jesus' time was looking at them and saying, boy, what a delightful bunch of people. They were a bunch of legalistic, condemning groups, and people despised them. The Pharisees looked down on everybody else because they didn't think that they were good enough to be hanging around with the Pharisees, because the Pharisees observed every minute detail that every rabbi had ever come up with. They counted their steps. They were very, very legalistic. And if you didn't do it, they looked down their nose on you and said, you've blown it before God. And, there was a book I read one time, and it said, what the church needs is a Pharisaictomy. We need to make sure that the things that was going on in the Pharisees' world doesn't come over into us. So let me just tell you, I don't keep tabs on giving other than my own. My wife and my giving, we are very, very observant of that. And so several times during the year, even though we give on a weekly basis, a couple of times a year, I say, okay, let's look and make sure that we haven't missed something. So we not only tithe, but we give offerings weekly, above and beyond the tithe. So, but we don't want to be guilty of violating this, because it's very important. They were very diligent in their tithing, but Jesus said, you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. And so there are things that are more important as far as weightiness goes. And it is not in the stewardship aspect. It's in that all the nations of the earth will call you blessed and you will be a delightful land aspect. You see, when you and I are operating with the divine blessing of God on our finances, when it comes to his provision of income, as well as the rebuking of the expenses, he says, you've got to come away from that and say, you know what? God is the one that's really doing this, not me. And you begin having a heart for people. And so he talks about the weightier matters of the law, and he lists three. And the first one that he mentions is justice. Justice. Now, there is a big, big cry about injustice and social justice and things like that. And I will tell you that God is a big fan of justice. He wants there to be equal treatment for everybody. God is no respecter of persons. Okay? And so you and I have got to realize that we need to treat people the way that God treats us. It should be irrespective of age, gender. It should be irrespective of skin color, socioeconomic bracket, fame, any of that sort of stuff. We need to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Period. Okay? And so there are people who live life exactly 180 degrees opposite of what I do. And you know what? I tell them, you have every right to be able to live that way. Within the matters of the judicial system, but you also have every right to experience the biblical blessing or consequence of that. This passage begins with woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. It doesn't begin with blessed are you. It says woe to you. You can get the stewardship of tithing right with the intention of the heart being wrong, and God will not bless it. He will say, you find yourself in a lamentable condition. If you ever get into the place where you are not looking for justice, okay, in the Old Testament, the priest had a bag, had two different weights in there, the Urim and the Thummim, and they helped with making of decisions. Well, back in those days, they didn't have dollars and dollar bills and coins and checkbooks and credit cards. They did everything by weight. And some people figured out how to use slightly askew weights to take advantage of the seller as well as to take advantage of the buyer. And so it always worked out in their favor. That was unjust, and God says, that's not going to fly with me. God doesn't want us treating people according to superficial standards. He wants us ministering to people according to heavenly standards. So he says, justice and mercy. Now you've got to remember, mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Okay, if you go back to the Old Testament, you would find that expression. Let me see if I can find this here real quick. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 12 is the first New Testament reference. And this is going all the way back to Hosea chapter 6. But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, Jesus told them, go and learn what this means. Well, they would have known that that was a quote from Hosea chapter 6, verse number 6. Let me take you back there to that. That's the first minor prophet. It is right after the book of Daniel, going from left to right in your Bible. So there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Hosea 2, Hosea chapter 6. Verse number 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So Jesus tells them, you need to go and learn what that means. Now, if he tells you to go and learn what that means, he didn't say go and remember what that means. He said go and learn it, because when they were criticizing him for why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners, he says you don't understand mercy. So over in chapter 12, you think that it's the end of the matter, and all of a sudden in chapter 12, let's see if I can find it real quick. I think it's in the first part. Verse number 3, but he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. Listen to this. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. So mercy is not a sacrifice of justice. Mercy says you would not have condemned the guiltless. That was what they did for Jesus. Jesus was guilty of no sins, and yet they condemned him, they crucified him, and that still didn't stop God. He raised him from the dead. Okay, so mercy is not an alternative to justice. Mercy is a loophole in divine law, if you will, that enables God to forgive and bestow mercy, which is us not getting what we deserve. Okay, listen, God is a big fan of mercy, but he is also a big fan of justice. And so where people get into trouble is that they demand mercy for themselves when they are guilty, but they expect judgment on other people who are guilty of the same things that they're guilty of. We cannot afford to be doing that. Now let's go back to chapter 23, because there's one more thing. There's mercy and there's justice, and the third one is faith. Faith is essential to the kingdom. Faith is the element that we bring into tithing that says, God, I know that because you trusted me with your seed the first time, and now I'm returning the seed back to you, and there's been a harvest, God, I know that you're going to be able to do this one more time. I believe that you're going to be able to do it over and over and over again. And so there is supposed to never be a time in your life or my life where we say, I don't have the faith that God can do anything. So I tell people, look, do you believe that God is going to be able to take care of you for all of eternity? Well, absolutely. Of course he is. Now is actually part of eternity. See, time is this little window that is carved in from eternity past to eternity future, and we are just living in this time. And if you've seen God be faithful in the past and you see God being faithful in the future, guess what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8, and he's going to be faithful to you now. Have faith in God. And then he says this, you ought to have done the tithing, but you cannot leave the others undone. So it all fits together. And he says, if you've got tithing right, but you don't have justice right, you don't have mercy right, and you don't have love right, then you are like a blind guide. You don't know where you're going, and you are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. I have never enjoyed either one of those. I've never eaten camel, don't want to. I have swallowed a gnat or two, but believe me, it was unintentional. Mouth open at the wrong time, insert gnat, bam. It's not good. What Jesus is talking about here is, look, he doesn't say tithing's part of the Old Testament and you shouldn't do it. He's saying, do it, but you've also got to realize that there are other principles that come in to play where other people are benefiting from the blessing that God is pouring out upon us. That's what it's all about. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. It is, people need, wouldn't it be great? Let me put it to you this way. Wouldn't it be great if people recognized the church as the sanctuary, the fortress, the refuge, instead of the government? Because the church could say, yes, we know you have physical needs, but do you know that Jesus wants you to prosper spiritually and physically? May 3 John 2 says, may you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so we need to point people back that there's a breakdown in the spirit someplace if we are having problems to a large extent in our tangible goods. I'm going to take you back to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And I got about 5 minutes here. And it says this in verse number 11. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them, the north and the south. You have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong as your right hand, is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Here's what I want you to see. Tithing is not about an economic crisis in heaven. Because the psalmist says that God owns heaven, he owns the earth, he owns everything in the world, and its fullness, everything it has. He just doesn't have the superficial rights, he's got the mineral rights. If he needs something from earth, he owns it. If there's something in heaven that is going to be a blessing. Do you realize that that there are people who've looked to the cosmos, if you will, and they've said this: there is so much resource abundance in the heavens that we could solve the economic crisis on earth if we just had some of that down here. And so there are people who strategize, how can I financially put out the expense to go mine that material and bring it back? How could I possibly do that? Because it would change the economies of the world. So I just want you to put some perspective on this for you, and that is this. God said, if I needed an ox, if I needed a bull, I wouldn't tell you. He said, I would just go and take care of the problem myself. God has a miraculous way of causing things to exponentially abound. When the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, it was formless and void and dark. And yet God spoke His word and created all of this. Tithing is not about me or any other pastor trying to talk you out of your money. Again, I will get no benefit from teaching this as a financial, there will not be any financial, I won't get a bonus or anything like that for teaching you this. I'm trying to communicate, if you're not walking in trusting God with what belongs to Him, you're depriving yourself. And I want to set you up to succeed by empowering you with the Word of God. Okay? One more thing about that Old Testament, New Testament thing. People say, well, I don't tithe because it's Old Testament and I live in the New Testament. I live under the blessings of God. You're right. God didn't lower the standard. He raised the standard. You know what New Testament finance looks like? God owns everything I've got. If He wants my house, it's His house. If He wants my car, it's His car. If He wants me to write a check and say, I want you to empty out your checking account, then I will do it. I've written checks for thousands of dollars before when I could have used that money someplace else, but God knew that He had a blessing in that seed. And I want you to experience the blessing and the favor of God. You will be blessed honoring God with His tithe and offerings in your life. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.